You're listening to All Things Cage at Wave Farms WGXC 90.7 FM Radio for Open Ears. I'm your host, Laura Kuhn, director of the John Cage Trust, and my guests today are musicologist and writer James Pritchett and the German cellist, composer, and visual artist Michael Bach, both in absentia. We'll be listening to yet another of John Cage's number pieces, this time his 1-8, written for and with Michael Bach, who is also the creator of the Bach Bogen, a uniquely curved bow, which will be well described and heard in this evening's program. Bach enjoys an international career as a cellist, with concerts, recordings, and radio and TV broadcasts. He's provided significant contributions to the art of playing the cello, including the book Fingerboards and Overtones. Since 1990, he has been developing his curved bow for string instruments, which makes possible the simultaneous sounding of multiple strings. In 2001, he was invited by Mieczysław Rostropowicz to present his Bach Bogen in Paris. Several contemporary composers, among them Dieter Schnabel, Walter Zimmermann, Hans Sender, and John Cage, have created compositions specifically for this curved bow, and the works by Schnabel and Cage are dedicated to him. As a composer and visual artist, Michael Bach is also known under the name of Michael Bach Bachtischer. His compositions, which he describes as free from compositional conventions, range from works for cello and curved bow, works for other solo instruments such as the accordion, organ, clarinet, bagpipe, and microtonal piano, to works for orchestral forces. His visual works comprise Fingerboards 1 through 8 from 1990 to 2010, which capture the hands choreography on the cello fingerboard as color impressions, as well as Mit diesen beiden Händen from 1994, Le Gauche from 1995, and Olevano from 1995. In cooperation with visual artist Renata Hofleit, he realizes large string and sound installations. James Pritchett is no stranger to All Things Cage. You can listen to our archived show together from September 25, 2021 at the Wave Farm or WGXC websites. This week, I'll read his beautiful liner notes for the recording we'll hear this evening, Michael Bach's performance of John Cage's 1-8, as released on Mode Records 141, number pieces 3, this is Cage volume 32, from 2004. Pritchett speaks as much about Michael Bach as about Cage's work, and in terms that get to the heart of their beautiful collaboration. As 1-8 can be performed as a solo cello work, which we'll hear momentarily, and with another of Cage's number pieces, his orchestral 108, in effect creating a cello concerto, tune in next week to hear an excerpt of the two works together in a beautiful rendition by cellist Lauren Dempster and the Orchestra del Teatro del Fenice, conducted by Arturo Tamayo, released on the New World Records multi-CD release, Music for Merce, 1952 to 2009, from 2010, the year after Cunningham's death. Now, on to Pritchett's liner notes for Mode Records 141, the number pieces 3, featuring Michael Bach on his curved bow, performing John Cage's 1-8. 1-8 by James Pritchett. The title page of John Cage's composition 1-8 reads, 1-8, violoncello solo, to be played with or without 108 for orchestra, for Michael Bach, John Cage, April 1991, New York City. The notation of the piece is very detailed and yet at the same time enigmatic. Quote, it's doubtful whether a cellist looking at this piece would even know what to do, Cage later remarked about it. In keeping with the manner of his late number pieces, the score consists of a series of musical fragments with variable timings. In this case, the notation shows 1 to 4 notes in each segment, with precise indication of which strings are to be used for which notes, which fingers are to be used to play them, and the exact manner in which harmonics are to be played. Despite the intricacy of the notation of the music, the instructions to the performer are just two simple statements. One, 53 flexible time brackets with single sounds produced on 1, 2, 3, or 4 strings. And two, durations, dynamics, and bow positions are free. Besides the musical notation itself, perhaps the most informative part of the score, the key to its understanding, is the phrase "for Michael Bach." I am reminded here of the composer Silvano Busotti's 5 piano pieces for David Tudor, that the title was not so much a dedication as an instrumental designation. The same is true of Cage's score, since Michael Bach is not just a cellist, but an inventor of playing techniques. That 1-8 was composed for him tells us much about the way the music is to be played. First, there is the use of his unique curved bow, the Bach Bogen. This bow, first developed by Michael Bach in 1989, not only has a curved shape, but also has a mechanism for adjusting the tension on the bow hairs. These two features together allows the cellist to play 3 or even all 4 strings of the instrument simultaneously, something which is impossible with a traditional straight bow. That Cage intended for 1-8 to be played using the curved bow, and hence that the various sonorities in the piece were each meant to be played with a single attack, is stated in the performance notes, quote, "single sounds," close quote, but is also clear from his own comments about the work. Cage tells the story of a, quote, "very good," close quote, Juilliard student who wished to play the piece. Quote, "it doesn't matter how good she is," Cage said, "if she doesn't have the right bow to play the music." He had originally thought of leaving open the option of playing 1-8 with a straight bow and arpeggiating the chords. After hearing Bach play it, however, he found that he so enjoyed Bach's playing that he changed his mind and left it as is. But the curved bow was only one of the technical innovations that Bach brought to Cage's attention. The other was his astonishing exploration and extension of the use of harmonics. Bach has written a comprehensive study on the playing of harmonics on the cello, titled "Fingerboards and Overtones, Pictures, Basics, and Model for a New Way of Cello Playing." The fingerboards are drawings that Bach made on cardboard placed under the strings of the cello, using black ink on his own fingers. He made a simple set of these for Cage in 1990, shortly after the composer had decided to write 1-8 for him, in response to Cage's question, "what can you finger on the cello?" His attention at that time was to provide Cage with a graphic guide to the hand stretches of which he was capable. However, shortly after this, Bach began to consider more and more the complexities of the situation. What he could play on any given string depended to a large degree of what other notes he was playing on the other strings, and he subsequently made many more of these drawings. To date, he has made over 100 of them. The book goes on to methodically work through all the possibilities of playing partial tones on the cello, natural harmonics, artificial harmonics, or combinations of both, harmonics on a single string, on 2 strings, 3 strings, or 4 strings simultaneously. There are tables of all the intervals possible in various situations, discussions of playing in the rarefied atmospheres of the 32nd partial, the different tones that occur when 2 simultaneous harmonics are slightly detuned, and the effects possible with pizzicato and glissando playing. Bristling with abbreviations that resemble mathematical formulas, numbers, charts, and diagrams, it is a formidable treatise. It is also exactly the kind of rigorous treatment of fundamental variables of music, the systematic exploration of the edges of the possible, that is at the core of Cage's compositional methods. It is not hard to see why John Cage was compelled to write for Michael Bach. Thus, 1-8 is truly a work for Michael Bach, both personally and technically. But 1-8 is more than this. It is a work with Michael Bach, in that he was an integral part of its actual composition. The fingerboard drawings that Bach provided did not give Cage all the information he needed to compose the piece. The possibilities were too vast to be neatly summarized in even a very large number of diagrams and charts. And so, when it came time to compose the piece, Cage found it necessary to have Bach there as well. The process for composing each event was relatively simple. First, decide how many tones the event would have, 1 to 4, and then, for each tone, select one pitch from the entire range of possibilities on the given string. Bach's role was to provide the information on the extent of the range of possibilities for each tone of each event. For a three-note chord, for example, Cage would select a pitch from that range, and then they would move to the last string in the same manner. Bach experimenting to determine what he should be able to reach while holding the other two tones and Cage selecting from that range. They thus proceeded through the 53 events in the piece, the two together acting as a kind of living cello oracle. Bach framing the boundaries of the questions, Cage using chance to provide specific answers within these boundaries. It was a process of discovery, slowly working to find the individual components of each sound, one tone at a time. Knowing this while listening to Bach's performance, it makes one realize that 1-8 clearly contradicts the common knowledge that Cage's compositional processes are largely inaudible to the audience and hence are irrelevant to our experience as listeners. In fact, the piece sounds almost exactly like the way it was composed, and our role as listeners is to discover these sounds exactly as Cage and Bach did, one at a time, carefully, slowly, and with delight. The sounds themselves are, of course, varied. Simple, complex, ordinary, extraordinary, robust, fragile, etc. Michael Bach recalls a particular memorable moment, the sound of three simultaneous harmonics that takes place at about 33 minutes and 45 seconds into this recording. Each harmonic played separately would be very complicated for cellists and almost impossible, Bach says, but here are all three pitches sounding together. Bach recalls that he and Cage paused after having achieved that particular sound. I like to think that they sat there in Cage's loft, surrounded by his many plants and flowers, considered the beauty of what they had discovered, and just smiled silently for a while. These, again, were the liner notes for John Cage 1-8, Mode 141, John Cage, the number pieces 3, from 2004, Michael Bach, cellist. Let's listen. Do return next week to WGXC 90.7 FM to listen to 1/8 joined with 108, in effect a cello concerto made from the simultaneous playing of these two number pieces by John Cage, in a beautiful rendition by cellist Lauren Dempster, in the Orchestra del Teatro La Fenice, conducted by Arturo Tamayo, and released on the New World Records multi-CD release, Music for Merce, 1952 to 2009, from 2010, the year after Cunningham's death. Have a great week.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.